You know, He's your true Father. No matter what you're going through, no matter what issues you might be struggling with, He's the one that can take care of all of them. Amen. Hey, He's the one that can kiss our soul's boo-boo. Y'all got kids, right? Or grandkids. They all want you to kiss your boo-boo. No matter where boo-boo may be, you hear, boo-boo kiss, boo-boo kiss. That's okay, that's what I'm hearing right now from the twins. But what do you always do when that kid or grandkid comes up and says, kiss my boo-boo, boo-boo kiss. You kiss it, don't you?
I still
do. No matter. You still ask for that? Oh, ouch. You always kiss it. Well, guess what? Jesus and God will kiss your soul's boo. If it's been hurt and tore apart by Satan, the devil, and the world, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, guess what? Jesus will heal your boo-boo. He will kiss that boo-boo away, just like you do with the kids. Amen? Yep, that had nothing to do with the message. That was an added Father today thing. Thank you, Jesus. When we get into the Scripture again, it'll be Colossians, book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 24 through 2, 5. So, Colossians 1, 24 through chapter 2, verse 5. When we get into that a little bit, we're going to get in there. But today's message is titled, Mystery Revealed. How many of y'all are glad that God revealed a mystery to you? Amen? I'm glad that He said, hey, guess what? The way you're living, you're an idiot. Oh, what? You can't say idiot in church. Why can't I? If you're not living the way God wants you to live, if you're not living for God, guess what? You're an idiot. You're living an idiot life. And that's where I was when He hollered at me and said, hey, I got something better for you. I got something better for you. I got a mystery for you. That's a whole lot better than the idiot life you're living right now. I got a boo-boo kiss for your soul, your idiot soul right now. I'm glad we had that, amen? But today's mystery is titled Mystery Reveal. And I'm going to put these things on because my printing is small today. Give you a little secret story here. When I first felt God calling me into preaching, I really didn't know what to do. Because He called me to church a little bit, but He never really told me I was going to be preaching. I was doing youth pastor, youth president things at the church I was going to. A little church that some of y'all may have heard of called Valley Grove Nazarene. That's in Charleston. But that's where I was attending at the time. And I really didn't know that many other preachers down there. And at least I didn't know anybody well enough that I thought I could talk to about what God was saying. Because God was saying, you need to be in church, you in church. But guess what? There's more. Amen? How many of y'all like it when God says there's more? How many of y'all hesitate? Amen. How many of you go, hey, stop, hold full, no break, or full break, I ain't going nowhere else. When He says, I got something more for you to do. I'm comfortable where I am. Amen. I was comfortable where I was. But there was one preacher that I could talk to at that time. His name was Curtis Harris. And we're still friends to this day. But I talked to him at that time, and I talked to him. He got me started as the youth president at Valley Grove, a position that he had been in for quite some years when he allowed me to share it with him. And he got me started teaching at that time. So I called him. I told him what was going on, what I was feeling. I told him I've been praying and praying. And he stopped me. And he said, you've prayed? Yes. And you feel like this is what God wants you to do? Yes. I really think that's what He's telling me. Then here's what you do. You quit praying about it and start doing it. Ooh.
That's a hard one, ain't it? If God's already telling you to do it and you've been praying about it and He's still telling you to do it, it's time to quit praying and get your butt up and do something. Amen? Go do what He's calling you to do. Amen? A lot of us don't do that though, do we? We still want to block it. We still want to be that roadblock that says, yeah, I know it's what I'm supposed to be doing. I know I've prayed that and prayed that and prayed that and prayed that. We can pray for years, can't we? And He's still telling us to do the same thing, and we're still sitting there doing something different. Because we're scared. We're scared. But quit. Quit and just go do what He's calling you to do. And that was what I needed at that time. I need somebody to tell me to follow God. Amen? We all get blocked once in a while, don't we? We all let our human side take over once in a while. We all need to quit and just follow what God tells us. I needed somebody to encourage me that God had a plan for my life. And let me tell you, God has had a plan for my life ever since, even though it's changed a few times. Amen? Because when He first called, He said, you're going to go preach. You're going to go tell people about me. Yeah. He never said I was going to be here where I am right now. So He can change where His destination for us along the road. Amen? And I was comfortable with doing just going and preaching. I fought. Hey, y'all know my story here. I fought for about 6 months before I finally said okay for here and to follow God. But that's what I needed, was somebody to encourage me that was my God's plan. I'll never forget that. One phone call of encouragement led me on this adventure of a lifetime that I'm still riding on today. And guess what? I'll be riding on it no matter what God has me doing until He takes me home. Amen? Until He takes me to heaven. But I've enjoyed it. Y'all looking at me like I'm getting ready to resign. I ain't going nowhere. Y'all stuck with me. Y'all forgot that, didn't you? That's it. Y'all go back to sleep now. I'm just kidding. Somebody at home, give me a thumbs up and give me an amen. All right, have you ever been encouraged by somebody to go on to into God's adventure? Don't we all need people to encourage us? Sometimes a little bit of encouragement is all it takes is to get us moving out of our seat to where God wants us to go. And once we get going, once we get moving, guess what happens? Things get accomplished. The things that God's telling you about get accomplished when we get moving and turn ourselves loose and follow what God's telling us to do. Amen? So as we continue our series through Colossians today, we're hitting a section where Paul plays the encourager to the church. If you've been with us so far, you know that some of the background of the Church of Colossae was they were a young church. They were feeling pressure. There's pressure from the outside. Society is wanting to press the Colossian church into conforming. We still see that today, don't we? Into compromising. There's pressure from within the church. Some of those within the church are coming up with all these different forms of Christianity. Some say it's all rules, all religion. Some say it's all about secret knowledge. Those in the middle, trying to stay the course, are being pulled in every direction. How many of y'all are being pulled in every direction today? Amen? How many of y'all don't give me an amen or a thumbs up if you're being pulled in every direction today? Hey, the world will try to do it to you, won't it? Hey, guess what? Sometimes our sisters and brothers in Christ will try to do it to you too. Amen? You know how it feels when you're in the middle of a tug of war. You get wore out quickly. You get tired faster, don't you? Sometimes you just want to quit. How many of y'all ever wanted to quit? I better not be the only one with my hand up in here. Amen? How many of y'all home ever wanted to quit? Amen? We all go through that, don't we? Sometimes we just want to quit so that we ain't pressured no more. We ain't stressed no more. We ain't tore up from the floor up no more. Amen? We just want to quit. So Paul steps up for a few paragraphs of encouragement. He wants to encourage the church to stay the course. Stay God's course. Amen? He wants to let them know that there's something good still to come. So in Colossians, again, the scripture today, Colossians 1, I lost it again, 1:24 through 2, chapter 2, verse 5, I have an NIV version, and it says it this way. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. For the sake of his body, which is the church, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery, there's our title, guys, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one that we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. How many of y'all still got a firm faith in Christ?
Yes.
Amen. How many of it is still as strong as it was when you started? Oh. Hey, sometimes you slack down, don't you? Well, we're going to encourage you today to stand firm. Stay firm. Amen. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I thank you for your scripture today, Lord. Lord, I ask you to get Ronnie out of the way again today, Lord. And allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me today, Jesus. Lord, I ask your word spoken and not mine today, Lord. Lord, I ask that we open our heart, mind, and soul to what you have for us today, Lord. To truly unravel the mystery today, Lord. Your Son, Jesus Christ, for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do for us. For each and every one that's here, Lord. For each and every one that's listening at home, Lord. Lord, I pray a special blessing upon them today, Lord. That you would open their mind, Lord, that they would get a little bit closer to you today, Lord. Press a little bit further into your word today, Jesus. Lord, grow beyond measure today, Lord. Lord, that we would be the church you would have us to be today, Jesus. Lord, I ask you to be with us through the rest of the message today, Lord. In your name I pray. Everybody say it?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody home, give me an amen or a thumbs up. We live in a world a lot like the world the Colossians lived in, didn't we? And we feel the same pressures as they did. Society wants us to conform. Society wants us to compromise the word. Amen. They want us to compromise certain sections to fit into their narrative. Guess what? The world's narrative is not God's narrative. Amen? If it's not in the Bible, or if it is in the Bible, and they're trying to live it out, guess what? That's not the Word. That's the world. Amen? They're trying to conform and compromise. And the church today as a whole is fractured. We're all fractured, aren't we? Denominations all hold that they're right. Oh, y'all just heard of a denominational fight, didn't you? All denominations, hey, listen, they're hearing at home. All denominations think they're right. Oh, Wesleyans, we think we're right. Amen? Southern Baptists, They think they're right. Nazarenes, they think they're right. Amen. Methodists, they think they're right. The other Methodists, they think they're right. Who am I leaving out? I know I'm leaving somebody out.
Presbyterians.
Thank you. Catholics. Catholics especially think they're right. They ain't. They're wrong. The only one right is Jesus. If they're living something that is a narrative on the outside of what's in God's Word, and the outside of what Jesus truly came here and did, they're living on the outside of Christianity. And they're wrong. Amen? Non-denominational churches all think they're right. But if, again, if they're living the same way, they're wrong too. Amen? We're only right if we're living straight from the Bible. What it says in there. Not changing it to fit what society says. It means if there's something in there that it says is wrong, and to get along with everybody today, we go, okay, I know that's in there, but I just want to make that group of people happy. So we'll allow it. No, that's wrong. Amen? If it's not in the Bible, or if it is in the Bible that is against something, going outside of that and allowing it is wrong. It's giving in to pressure. It's compromising. That's how the church is getting fractured today. Amen? It's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? It's easy to get tore down. Amen? In the world that we live in today. It's easy for us to say, whew, I'm tired. I'm wore out. I don't feel like doing this anymore. I don't think it's worth it. Amen? It's easy for us to get discouraged like that. Amen? So we need this word of encouragement as much as the Colossian church did back then. So let's see how Paul encourages the Colossian church. And let's see if we can get some encouragement as well today. Amen? Even though it's 2,000 years later. Because what was written back then is still holds true today. Amen? God's word is as true back then as it is today. Facing a world of change. Remember, the legacy of the church is struggle. Amen? The church has always struggled. The legacy of it has always struggled. Paul struggled to support the church. It cost him. He suffered through it. Most of Paul's ministry was opposed by almost everybody. How many of y'all ever had a ministry that everybody said, yeah, that ain't the right thing. That ain't what God wants you to do. When you know it's in line with God and it's in line with the Word. Amen? You always got somebody. Somebody is always there to be what they used to call negative Nancy. There's always somebody that got something negative to say about what you're doing. No matter how far you're doing it in God, there's always somebody that's going to say something opposite. Amen? So Paul heard all that back then. Amen? He was always fighting an uphill battle. He was writing to the Colossian church from prison. But his struggles and suffering paled in comparison to the importance of what he had to say to them. Amen? He wanted the Colossian church to remember that going against all the grain is a struggle. Going against the grain is a struggle. Most people will fight against you. Amen? They crucify their leader. Well, I think it might be different for you. Amen? That's what the church was going through back then. They crucified Jesus. What would make it different for them? Some of the church people struggled with that back then, didn't they? But what they were doing was important. If it wasn't important, there wouldn't have been resistance to it. Amen? There must have been making a difference. They must have been causing some type of commotion, some type of stir in people. Amen? Because it was stirring up trouble. Amen? When you get a good stir for God, it's going to stir up trouble. from the outside world. Amen. From Satan. But remember what we're about. We're about seeing people change by the power of God. Amen. We're about seeing our families united and strong. We're about seeing our world turn to love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Everything else pales in comparison. There is nothing that can compare to the love, mercy, and grace of Jesus. Amen? And it is a struggle. Amen? It is a struggle. We still struggle today just like we did back then. But it's well worth it. Ouch. Sorry. It's well worth it. It's well worth the struggle. Amen? How many of y'all struggled to get through school? When you made it to that graduation today, it was well worth it, wasn't it? It was well worth all those hours you put up studying. All those hours you put up studying stuff like, unless you went into certain fields, geometry, trigonometry. I never used any of that after high school. But it was worth putting up the struggle and the hassle to pass. Amen. To complete something. To accomplish something. Amen. It was worth it when Jesus saved you. What? Do you still find His worth today? As the same as He did on that day that you got saved and first met that relationship with Him? Is it worth it? And it's worth it when we see those that we love now come to know our Lord and Savior. Amen? Whether it's friend, family, whether it's people we don't like, it's still worth it when we see them come to know Jesus. Amen? What propels the church is encouragement and unity. Paul knew that, and he knew all that the Colossian church faced. He says his purpose is to encourage your hearts. He wanted his encouragement to lead to unity and love in the church. Amen? That's what we should still be working for today. We need to encourage each other instead of be negative to each other. Amen? We need correction when needed, but it needs to be done in love, grace, and mercy. Amen? And unity. The Colossian church needed to be reminded that their mission was important. They needed to be encouraged to stand strong for Jesus. It would have been easy to roll over and give up for Him, wouldn't it? Everything looked to be stacked against Him. How many of y'all have ever felt like everything's stacked against you? Amen? And now there's this man in prison writing to him. A man most all of them had never even seen personally. And he was encouraging. Amen. This man of God thought what they were doing was important. Paul wanted to encourage them that their purpose was life-changing. Paul encouraged them to be united. It was hard enough being a church back then in a society that opposed them. How much harder is it when you're opposed by those who are supposed to be on your side? Amen? How many of y'all have that? We all struggle with that sometimes, don't we? You can't fight the enemy if you're fighting each other. Amen? Y'all hear that? We can't fight Satan if our church is fighting each other. If our brothers and sisters in Christ are fighting each other, we can't fight Satan. We can't fight the enemy. Amen? Paul was about to call out those who were disrupting the unity of the church in the church. To be effective for Jesus, they had to be united in mind and purpose. They had to be united in love. Most of what the world sees of the church is disunity. Most every time that somebody is not a Christian, if they come into a church, most of the first things that they see is the disunity in the church. The personal cliques in one place. The not having people talk in one place. Disunity. Amen. But our mission is important. We may feel like we're not even making a dent in anything for Jesus. We may feel like, what's the use? We may feel like we can't do anything. But what we're doing as Christians and as a church are of the utmost importance. All the decisions made by Jackson and Washington will one day cease to make a difference. And people who have had the loudest voices today will be gone and forgotten tomorrow. But what we do will have eternal consequences. Amen? It's not just for here on earth. It's not just temporal. It's eternal that we have to look towards. Hundreds of years from today, what we do now will have a direct influence if we do it in unity. We can't make a difference in the world for Jesus if we're bogged down by things that really don't matter. We need to be united. We need to be encouraged, amen, to make a lasting difference in this world today. The message of the church is still Jesus. Amen. Our message is still Jesus. And just Jesus. Amen. Just Jesus' gospel. Paul reminds them of the message he preached. They heard that message from Epaphras, who had heard it from Paul. Paul takes an early swipe at those who thought that they had a secret knowledge of how to come to God. These were the Gnostics. Paul said, he presents the mystery. He says he knows where all the wisdom and knowledge is hidden. And he doesn't hold back, does he? He wants everybody to know. And then he reveals that mystery. Y'all remember what the mystery is? Christ in you. That's the mystery. That's the true mystery. Amen. That's the wisdom, the knowledge. Christ hiding in us, living in us. It's no longer a mystery then, is it? It's Jesus. Amen. That's why he struggled. That's why he suffered, to present Jesus to the world. To see people here and trust in Christ. That's what it was all about for Paul. And Paul says that's what it's all about for the Colossian church. Guess what? That's all about what it's all about for us. Amen. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. Presenting to everybody. Amen. Every denomination has their pet peeves. Amen. Almost every Christian I've met, including me, have our own little pet peeves that drive us crazy. We can really get loud when somebody crosses that line. And if we can stick to those things that are godly and biblical, those things wouldn't divide and wouldn't bother us, would it? If we stick to what's godly and biblical, or the little pet peeves wouldn't bother us. Those things define us. But those things can never be our message. Amen? The little pet peeves can never be our message. Our message can only be Jesus. 24/7, 365. Jesus is the only one. Our message is Jesus lived. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. Jesus lives today. Jesus saves those that come to Him. Amen. He forgives them. He cleans them up. He gives them meaning. He gives them purpose. He changes their lives. Just like He did us. Amen. Are you ready to tell somebody about it? Are you ready to reveal the mystery to somebody that don't know Him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your message today, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the reveal of Christ Jesus for each one of us, Lord. Lord, I ask You just to be with us, Lord, as we process the message today, Lord. Lord, that You would put somebody in front of us, Lord, that we could truly influence for You, Jesus. And tell how important it is that they truly know and have a relationship with Your Son. The one that died on the cross for us, Lord. Lord, the one that gives us purpose in everything that we do today, Jesus. Lord, we thank You for Paul's message to the Colossian church, Lord. Lord, but more importantly, to Paul's message to us today, Lord, that it's all about Jesus. That's the way we should be living 24/7, Lord. Lord, that no one should be outside of your will, Lord. That we should be willing to lovingly tell everyone of your love, mercy, and grace, Lord. Lord, we ask you just to put somebody in front of us, Lord, that we can do that this week, Jesus. Lord, bring us back to our next appointed time. In your name I pray. Amen.